Magic.
And the world of illusion.
Magic TV.
And Craig Petty. Proudly present the Talk Magic Podcast. Every week we bring you awesome interviews with the greatest magicians that have ever lived. And now, here's your host, Craig Petty.
So I'm here with one of my favorite mentalists. I'm here with somebody who has literally written the book on mentalism more than once. He's written the book, then again. Somebody who is an incredible performer and creator of mentalism and really understands the performance of mentalism. And also my good friend, the one and only Mark Chandow, who has just spent the last sort of 15 minutes watching the trailer for Evoke. I actually shared what Evoke was with Mark probably over a year ago. He was one of like a handful of people I shared the concept with. So he was already aware of exactly what was built into the cards, built into the principles and everything. But he's now seen the trailer and I've told him everything else that's going on. And let's have a chat, Mark. What do you think of Evoke? You're in a unique position in that you saw the development of this right from the very beginning. So talk to me.
The first thing I'll say is take my money now. It absolutely, when you first showed me it, it was on a computer screen. The cards hadn't even been printed yet. They were literally just a concept. And it looked incredibly impressive. And the final product certainly more than lives up to that promise. It looks really impressive. And this is something that will literally go into my everyday carry, which is rapidly becoming my everyday Craig.
That means so much. It really does. And you know what? It's interesting that you say everyday carry, because me and Phil Smith spent so much time trying to make these not look like a magic prop.
They look like what they claim to be. I mean, they're so well put together. And even the backs, whilst hiding many devious secrets, just look completely innocuous. And more importantly, look nothing like playing cards. I think the size as well is they're not playing card size, if my memory serves me correct.
They actually are. We ended up with playing card size, and they've actually been printed on USPCC stock.
Yeah, I think because they all use landscape instead of portrait, that's probably what makes them not feel like playing card size, because you're used to seeing playing cards kind of upright. Mm. And because you're seeing these in landscape, it breaks that mental connection with playing cards. At least for me, it does, because I have seen the physical product. I think you showed me at the London convention.
I did, yeah. And
they didn't seem like playing card size to me, possibly because of the design, the layout, everything. But yeah, they look like what they claim to be. And that's one of the things I really like about them.
Well, as somebody who's such a, you know, an accomplished mentalist, and like I say, the Harp and Crown books are just the Bible for a lot of mentalists, how important do you think it is to have an emotional connection with the audience when it comes to doing mentalism? And how do you think Evoke would help with that?
I think particularly in sort of one-on-one situations, I think it can be really important, because when it's just one-on-one or small group of people, making that emotional connection gives them a reason to buy into the effect, and it enhances their memory of that effect, because it means something to them. And one of the things I love about these is that these are all about emotion, and you've just got so many different directions you can go in them. I love the any card at any number, which becomes so much more than an any card at any number. Effectively, you're getting the age at which they felt this emotion and the emotion. So it's a double whammy. Then you've got the out of this world, which again has such a strong meaning with the positive thinking, beyond the normal out of this world, which is just, oh, you managed to sort the reds into the blacks. Here you've actually, by thinking positive, you have to excuse me, I'm just on the tail end of a cold, but yeah, by thinking positive, you've had a positive result, which is a lovely message, and gives that effect such a strong meaning. Yeah. Again, the ESP matching effect, you just, there's just so much you can do with these, and bringing that emotion in just enhances all that effect. ESP matching, it's just, yes, so the circle matches the circle. Here, where you've got that emotional connection, it just adds that extra element.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Completely agree with you. The goal for me with these was that you could literally have a mentalism act in your pocket. Like, you could use these cards, and just these cards, and you could very easily do sort of 15, 20, 25 minutes, and it would all be completely different. It would all be an emotive performance, but we'd be completely different. You'd have predictions in there. You'd have, thought transfer, empowering the spectators, absolutely everything, just with one little, pack of...
Yeah, I mean, you literally could easily do 15 minutes with these, and again, doing... pretty much demonstrating almost every mentalism ability, with the exception possibly of PK. But then again, I'm pretty sure you could use these somehow in a PK routine. But yeah, they just give you so many different directions. And also, you can use them to springboard into other effects as well, or in combination with other effects. So again, I mean, my mind's just kind of racing with all the different possibilities. You know, even with a standard book test, you could still bring these in to bring another element to that. Pretty much anything, even, a billet peak and an emotion. There's just so many ways that you can use these. As I say, to me, these will go in my pocket and stay there. I mean, they'll come out to perform with, but they'll literally. but this is something when I'm not being paid to perform, I don't like to carry too much with me, but I like to have something with me, and this is perfect, because just one little thing, and I can pretty much do anything.
Wow. I'm so glad you like them, Mark, because I respect you so much. So, the fact that you're saying how great it is, I really appreciate that, man. Thank you so much.
Oh, so no two ways about it. This is something that I will carry with me, because, as I say, you can do a quick, just a quick one-off trick. You can do a whole routine. You can get multiple people involved, or you can do something one-on-one. The flexibility that these offer while looking completely innocent, and the opportunities to bring meaning into a lot of those effects, it's a no-brainer for me. If I'm looking, what am I going to carry with me today? These are going to be very high up on that list. There's not many things that I can think of off the top of my head that would push these out of my pocket.
Wow. Dude, thank you so much, Mark. I really appreciate that.
I suspect when I put that list together of things that will go in my pocket, several of them will have by Craig Petty.
I can't wait to see. You're so creative. I can't wait to see what people like you are going to do with these cards. Because I just know that what I've done is scratch the surface. And I know somebody like you, who's way better in every aspect of creating mentalism than I'll ever be. Just like every single aspect of it. You're more knowledgeable. You're more experienced. You've created more. Just in every level, you're better than me. And just to know...
I disagree, but I'll take that.
No, I don't disagree. I think that, I have serious imposter syndrome. I've been speaking to mentalists the last 3 or 4 days, and I love mentalism, and I dabble, but I'm not a hardcore mentalist. And speaking to people like you and the other names of people I've spoken to the last 4 days, I've got serious imposter syndrome because I feel like I shouldn't really be even in the running for having a conversation like this with people. So, you know, and I genuinely think that. So, you know, I can't wait to see what people like you and Mark Spielman and Mark Paul and, you know, all of these and Michael Murray and all these incredible mentalists. I can't wait to see what you guys are going to come up with this because
I can't wait to get my hands on these because the possibilities are endless. But I think the beauty is with people like Nardi on the project, people like Peter Turner, your own creative thinking, you could get this, learn the effects on the tutorial and never need to come up with anything else. I mean, people like myself and several others out there will naturally come up with our own ideas. But what I love about this is you're giving people everything they need. And if they want to be creative, the tools are there for them to do it. If they just want to do what's in the instructions, there's a lifetime of material in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Couldn't agree with you more. Dude, thank you so much, Mark. So I'm here with one of my favorite magicians in the whole world, probably I think the greatest creator in magic right now, and the person who co-created the Magic TV 2023 Trick of the Year, the co-owner of Trick Boom, the one and only Roddy McGee. How you doing, Roddy?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Excited. Look, you've just spent the last half an hour watching the trailer. I've told you everything about Evoke. Obviously, you've not seen the tutorial, but I've gone through all of the principles and all of the bits and bits and the stuff you can do with it. I just wanted to get your thoughts, you know, what you thought and what you think of it.
It's great, man. It's great. I mean, like I was saying when we were looking through it, that it's a complete package, right? And it's not, I mean, like I was saying, it's not really... Initially, I looked at it and thought, I don't know if that fits my style, but the fact that this is so comprehensive is it pretty much fits everyone's style, right? If you want to just do a really fun kind of matching effect, or you want to just, you know, predict something that someone's going to pick, or, I mean, there's so much to it, right? And like I said, if you have a lay person, think of a card and you reveal it, it's mind-blowing. But if you attach an emotion to that, then that's proper powerful stuff, right? And if you want to wade in that deep, then this, you can do that. It allows you to do that. I don't know if I would, right? I might. It's tempting, but it's powerful stuff. It's you can go as deep as you like with this. It can be a fun thing. I really like the matching images. I really like that. I definitely use that. It's great. It's great, and the marking system is really clever. I mean, I wouldn't expect anything less from yourself and Phil. It's as I said to you when I watched the trailer, I paused it and was looking for the marking system. If I know something's marked, I like to try and work it out. And I looked at it, and I did not see it until you showed me it. And as soon as you showed me it, I was like, oh God, can't believe I didn't see that. Right.
I've said before, it's a little bit like that old thing that went around Facebook a while ago with the cigar on the brick wall. And you can look at that brick wall forever and not see that cigar. But the second...
I can't not see that now. Every time it pops up, I think, how did I... That's just the cigar. Like, I can't not see it now. No, it's great. It's great.
And you know what? I think that obviously... mentalists are kind of really gravitating to. I've spoken to so many mentalists recently who are like, oh my gosh, the applications for mentalism is just amazing, and which is true. But I think magicians will get, you don't have to go really deep with this. Yeah. I know people out there like Luca Volpe and Pete on the actual tutorial. Pete goes really deep with this stuff, which you can do, but you don't have to, really. It's like you said.
Yeah, exactly. You can choose to go as deep as you want with this. I mean, it like, you can do coincidence things. And like you say, the whole, I mean, Out of This World is Out of This World. Is the best card trick. It really is an incredible card trick. But, you know, with images and stuff, it's always more powerful. It's always easier for people to connect to. And the fact that what the deck's like 26 cards.
Yeah, 26 cards.
So yeah. It's you're not having someone go through a whole deck. That's boring, right? If you're going around tables like I do, or you're going around like weddings and banquet settings, then that's a nice little quick out of this world that everyone can see. You know, it's nice and visual. Yeah, I think there's so much that you can just take what you like from it, you know, and if you build your confidence with it, then you might want to go down that route of evoking childhood memories, out childhood traumas with them and stuff like that, you know.
Oh, exactly. And you know what I've found as well? I've found that you can take classic card routines and put it in this deck and really frame them differently. Like, have somebody name an emotion that they want to feel and then do ambitious card with that emotion. And you talk about how, hey, if you concentrate on that positive motion, it's always going to come to the top. It's always going to, you know, taking something like triumph and talking about how, you know, your emotions can be all over the place and they can be up and down. And,
yeah,
you know, you can just take.
That's the thing. You can take two or three cards from the deck, you know, whatever. Take three cards, do a Monty routine with it or something, you know, and take one card, use it in a regular deck. Or, yeah, I mean, there's so much you could do with it. So much you can do with it, and they look nice as well. They're appealing, so when someone sees them, they're going to want to watch. They're going to want to look at the cards, right?
Well, I know Phil was so passionate about wanting to make sure that it looked like the sort of thing that you'd buy from like a bookshop or something, like when you're going through the airport and there's those little shops with, you know, that he wanted it to be where if you pull it out, it doesn't look like a magic prop. It looks like something that anybody could possibly have.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean it's always good to engage someone when you bring something out and you're already starting to tell the story, right? You go, oh, what's this? You've got their interest already as soon as you bring these cards out. Everyone knows, every working magician knows that as soon as you bring a deck of cards out, you can see people's faces fall, right? They're just like, oh my God, a card trick, right? And how many times have we heard people say, oh, I've seen this before. Yeah. Before you even take the cards out of the pack, I've seen it. You're like, really? Really? But you're not going to get that with this, really. And you can do all your old the routine you were going to do anyway, but they're not going to say, I've seen this one when you bring these cards out, right?
Not at all.
People are going to say, what's that? And that's what you want, right? What's that? Oh, well, let me tell you. Let me tell you what this is. No, yeah. It's great. Great little toolkit, man. And I like the fact that, like I say, you can go as deep as you want with this. It can be fun. It can be mind-blowing. But like I say, there's some powerful applications with it for sure. And I love the marking system. Really, really, really intuitive and clever. I don't see people... It's one of these ones where... I remember the first time I got the Penguin Mark decks, and I was like, these are great, but I was worried that people were going to spot them. But no, man, they were so easy to read, and I thought people were going to spot it. With this, now that I've seen it, like you say, like once you've described it to me, I'm like, I can't unsee it, but I don't see anyone else spotting that.
No.
You know,
it's like it's impossible to spot. It just really is. It's like I've been using them so, and it's one of those things as well. That when you know the marking system, doesn't matter what the lighting conditions is, doesn't matter how far the deck away is from you, it's one glance and you've got the information straight away.
Yeah, because I guess that once you get used to it, like, well, you'll get used to it instantly. It's kind of, I suppose it's like these, like the baby book, like John's baby book. As soon as you know the secret, that's it, you're away, right? With this, a glance, if you've seen two or three letters that you need to see in that word, then you're probably picking up all the information you need of that card, the next card, the word on the next card, the word on this card, you can probably pick up in seconds just by glancing at it.
Yeah.
And I like the way that you've kind of, I mean, I know you like to dot every I and cross every T, but I like the way that you've got it set that you can use a stack if you like, because I always like to go down that route if I'm using a marked thing, because, you know, some way people do get the whole idea of something being marked, but if you have never seen the card that they've take it out, put it in your pocket. It's always a good one to get people, right? You're getting all your information from what's left.
And
that's great.
And that's the important point, actually, because I think different people will use it in different ways. Some people will have it stacked because that's the way they want to go with it. Some people will have it where they probably don't, they'll just have it shuffled and they'll read the marks off the card they take. Some people might not even use, there's a ton of routines on there that don't even use the marks. Like Peter Nardi, he doesn't even use the mark at all. He's got a ton of, he does a 10 card poker deal with it. He has somebody take out 5 positive emotions that they like feeling, 5 negative emotions that they never want to feel. He has them shuffle the cards up, and then he does a 10 card poker deal, just putting them down. And they've sorted out the positive and negative emotions. And it's like, you're doing a 10 card poker deal, but it doesn't feel like a poker trick.
I'm always very much in favor of card tricks that aren't card tricks. Right. I mean, I love card tricks. I'm a magician. I love them. I can't help it. It's like I try to steer myself away from cards as much as I can. And every trick I put out is somehow card related, right? But I like to think that it's a bit of a deviation from what a standard card trick is. So I'm all in favor of clever card tricks that aren't card tricks. You know what I mean? And any time you replace cards with images or, in this case, emotions, and just, you know, interesting little quotes and stuff like that, it's not a card trick anymore. But, you know, if you know some card tricks, then you know how to use this already. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's good stuff, man.
Oh, man, that means a lot coming from you. It really does. Because you know how much I think you're amazing.
No, you're amazing.
My repertoire is Roddy McGee. Well, Roddy, thank you so much. I really appreciate you jumping on here with me.
No, not at all. No, I'm delighted to see you, and I'm sure it'll do well, man. It's a clever little pack of fun.
You'll definitely
blow some minds with that, for sure.
Oh, mate, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. So I'm very excited because I'm here with multi-time world champion and my good friend.
Never gets old to hear that multi-champion part, Craig, but I like the good friend part better.
There's very few people that you can say multi-award winning champion to world champion, but, you know, I respect the hell out of you so much, Sean. I really do. I've always been a massive fan of your work, and we've just sat down. You had a look at the trailer. I've probably spent the last 15, 20 minutes going through the many different things that are built into the Evoke deck. See, now you know exactly what it is.
It's crazy how many levels there are to it. I mean, you've obviously spent this entire year and a half anally thinking of every little bit. And I'm impressed by how many people you brought into the project, too, who've obviously added stuff to it to make it so strong.
Yeah, well, you know what? I know what I'm good at and know what I'm not good at, and I'm not the greatest mentalist in the world.
Yeah.
I'm just not. But I knew that this was such a great tool for mentalists. I was like, I really need people like Pete Nardi and Peter Turner and Ian on the project with me, because they're so much better than I am at mentalism.
And, you know, I don't consider myself a mentalist, but the other day somebody told me, one of my students said, there's a lot of mentalism in my show at Hidden Wonders. And I think that's just because over time, doing live shows, I've realized mentalism really hits people. It's strong. Magic tricks amuse people, but things with mentalism really affect them. And I've always looked for magic that affects people rather than the effect. I've always been looking for the effect. And so more and more. And I love to tell stories, and I love to create emotion. And this is kind of, well, it's totally around emotion. It's around things like anxiety and joy and zest and things like this. And I can see the huge potential for me in being able to use it as a tool towards other things. I can see the card tricks in it, and that's all cool. I just love, I do a lot of book tests, you know that. But the idea of being able to not have to have a crib and be able to just read the other card to know where I am makes me very happy, because I'm all about stick to easy, and this makes it easy.
And like you pointed out, the marking system is so easy to read. Like, it's just how you can actually get so much on one card and you can get full words. It
reminded me of the old Deland deck, which used to tell you, you know, what your marked card was, what position it was, and what the next card was, and the one before was. And I was looking, going, wow, but that system was this clock with dots that you had to memorize, and there was so much work in it to make. And this is like, nope, it's right there. You can just read the words and see them and the initials, and the idea of being able to narrow it down to some celebrities is really clever.
Oh man, thank you so much. You made a great point when we were chatting before we hit record, which was the reaction that people give, and you're absolutely 100% correct. You mentioned about, you know, you'd rather have a more subdued reaction, right?
Absolutely. I'm not that guy looking for the people to run away from the camera screaming at the end. And I see that in lots of magic. And for me, that to me is those people really kind of showing off to the other people around them and expressing more than what it is. What I love is when people kind of go inside themselves and go quiet. That moment when you finish the trick and the effect and they just kind of like become reclusive into themselves for a few seconds. So they're thinking, you go, ooh, I hit a mark. And I can see that being in this, that people are going to, when you say, you know, you're thinking about a negative emotion and this is what it is. And they, yes, I can really see it having an impact and them going even more quiet. And then being able to say, look, if you'd gone in this direction, here's what you would have had. And the idea of the oil and water, of being able to separate emotions. There's so many, the triumph, all of the ideas that you're talking about, I'm like, I think there's a way that they can be used so it doesn't look like a card trick in any way, even by the way you've designed the box not to feel like a deck of cards, and to make them vertical instead of, horizontal instead of vertical, so that they're not looking at a display this way, but looking at it. I told you I'm a big fan of motivational posters. I'm even bigger fan of demotivational posters. So the Peter Turner idea of not being able to read the card really, really resonated with me. Like, wow.
You know what? Great. I've seen Pete do that a couple of times. And for how simple it is, it just completely floors an entire audience. Like, sure. Oh, they just start questioning reality. It's like, yeah, it's so strange. It really is. It's really...
It's a lot to pack, and the subtleties, having the stack as easy as an alphabet, the idea of, you know, waterfalls, ocean, the trees, doing the whole Quran thing off the, you've really spent a lot of time on this. It's quite impressive.
I think I've spent a bit too much time on it. It was like, it got to a point where I was like ringing up Phil going, can we add this? Can we add this? Now I want to add this. And I think at one point he was like, no more, just stop. Okay, we've got enough.
But all the details you've added, really, I love the fact that the negatives are all in black and white and the positives are all in color. It really has these subtle little tones that people may not notice, but they will psychologically experience that. And yeah, as a magician who doesn't consider himself a mentalist, I still consider it's going to be a really cool tool for me to play with. I'm excited to get one just because the idea of being able to add it in a way that it changes what I'm performing now. I do a lot of card tricks. Having won the world championship, people expect the card tricks. But yeah, if I can do something that doesn't use them, but still has that same tool that doesn't look like the tool, I think is really great.
Oh, yeah. I was speaking to Ian Rowland when he did the masterclass for the project. And he said, the bottom line is this, Craig. He said, you ask somebody to name their favorite movie, they can. You ask somebody to name their favorite song, they can. You ask somebody to name their favorite feeling and how they like to feel, they can. You ask someone to name their favorite playing card.
I think Ian's a genius. I have my any card, any number, and I always say, do you have a favorite card? And people go, why? And I'm like, exactly. There's no reason anybody would have a favorite playing card. You have a favorite number, maybe. Right. Mm-hmm. But you don't have a favorite card. Who? Only magician geeks have a favorite card. Mm-hmm. And when you tell a person that, 80% of women say the Queen of Hearts, they go, sure they do. I say, no, they really do, because they don't have any other choice because they don't know playing cards. It's that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you can tell, I would turn it into something like the last family gathering you went to. If you were to express it in one word, what would the word be? some people say joyful and others will go anxiety. And it'll be like, there you go. Look at that. Now you can pick a card from this entire pile. There's 52. These are all lost in a shuffle. And as you go through them, what'd you get? Oh, anxiety. Wow. What a surprise. It's like, this is exactly what you felt.
Well, I know that you love any card at any number like I do. And One thing that I do with these, with any card at any number, is I give them the emotions and I say, do me a favor, think about a time when you were younger, like when you were a child or a teenager, and think about how you felt at that time and try to remember how old you were. Have you got something? And they go, yeah. And you go, brilliant. Take that emotion out, the emotion that kind of ties in with how you felt at that age. Have you got it? Show everyone. Now shuffle it into the pack. Brilliant. Now, for the first time, how old were you? Ask 50. Deal to the 15th card.
Nice. As soon as you said age, I went, what a great way to get to the number. That's really good.
It's like any emotion at any age.
the idea of being able to put it to the recall of something like that, what Christmas felt like, what New Year's, did you lose somebody this year? You know, was there a birth of a child? That sort of thing can really change the entire presentation from, you got the Three of Clubs, right? It's going to take it in a different direction. I've seen a lot of people doing like horoscope cards and things like that. And I think those are cool, but you have to understand the zodiac symbols and you have to understand that entire genre. And I see the picture of death. I think that's, you know, ooh, it's death. And it's like, no, it's sudden change. And I'm like, really? So now you're just lying to me because you're making it up as you go along. These, you can clearly see if it's, you know, depression or anxiety or happiness, joyfulness, zest, whatever it is, it's there in your face. So it's not like you're making an interpretation of something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Really clever.
So, David, I've just shown you everything to do with the Evoke deck. Well, I say everything. It's like 6 hours long. But I've given you like the Evoke 101, all the different principles and all the different things that are built into it. What do you think?
Mine is still racing. I mean, we always look for like great hooks, and I think you nailed it. I mean, not only is it just evoking emotions, which everyone can relate to, but there's also been nostalgia. I mean, we've all been to the mall, like here in the US, it was Spencer Gifts, where you walk in, you see those motivational posters or your dorm rooms in college back in the day. So like, I can just relate to the cards right away just from the aesthetics of it. But then when you're talking about people's emotions, it's just such a relatable, it's not playing cards, but they look so innocent, but there's so much built in that it's almost like insane that you manage to cram all this into something that on first glance just looks like a casual prop.
And you know what? I wish I could take credit for that, but that was all Phil Smith. Like from the very beginning, he wanted, you know, when I told him what I wanted this to be, he said, this needs to be something that you could walk into any shop, any bookshop, and you could find it on the shelf and pick it up, and it would just look like it was meant to look. The whole thing was designed so that it doesn't look like a magic prop.
Not at all. And I mean, you just, with how much information you have at your fingertips, I mean, you're looking like a rock star as a mentalist right away with just no memory work. It's just all there in such a devious way that hides in plain sight. And I also just love the fact that the cards are landscape. I mean, when you try to move away from card tricks and, you know, have something that's different, just having something of the orientation of the cards be different automatically cements that, okay, this is something that's really different and that people are going to say, oh yeah, I haven't seen this one, as, you know, you take out a deck of cards. Like, this is just the perfect thing to captivate audiences right away because they know this is something different they haven't seen and it's something they can relate to and sink their teeth into right away.
Oh man, yeah, I completely and totally agree with you, because the thing is, I think that a lot of people that try to do this sort of stuff, I think it's the memorization that puts them off. And one thing that I was so keen on wanting to achieve with this trick or this project was having the ability for people to do absolutely everything with no memory work, and also having it so that you could do it in any lighting conditions. Like the markings, you can see them from a mile off. Like, it's like that old cigar illusion with a brick wall where, you know, the thing where you can't see the cigar, but when somebody points it out to you, you can't miss it. It's the same with this. You could stare at the backs of these cards forever and not see anything. But the second that you point out to someone and say, well, this is how the alphabet system works. You know, and then it's like, how did I not see that?
Yeah, it's hide under your nose. And the thing is too, like, as you're walking me through all the features, I'm like, oh, that's so good. I can start to think of how I'm going to use it. And then you're already on to the next feature. And I'm like, oh, damn, that opens up these possibilities. And before I can even start the mind racing, you're on to like the 20th other feature. That's just like, oh my God, like I really need to sit down. And that just shows how well thought out this is. I mean, the fact that you've went to this level of detail and put everything in here just shows, I mean, I can't imagine how much time, energy, and effort it did to not only come up with everything to have it be within there, but then to just have it just look so innocent is just a miracle in itself. So hats off to you and Phil.
And you know what I'm excited about is seeing what people like you will come up with. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, these are playing cards. They're printed on USPCC playing card stock. They're playing cards. You know so many principles when it comes to card magic. Like so many.
Yeah.
You know so many, like, principles that have been hidden in time. That the amount of times you've shown me a card trick and I'm like, that's completely fooled me. And you're like, oh, it's based off this in the 1930s.
Yeah, yeah. Blah, blah,
blah. You apply some of those principles and some of the ideas with cards and you plug them into this.
Forget about it. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the same like with snaps. And it was like, you know, hey, remember all those card tricks that you love? Here's a new way to do them with presenting a different prop. So now, like, as you were kind of saying, it almost writes itself when you're talking about emotions, how that just the pattern, the scripting and your performance is just so natural. Because like when you say like when things are turned upside down or whatever, your emotions get all scrambled, like it literally, as you're saying, writes itself. And I completely agree, because it just makes it so natural. And part of the hardest thing for me as a creator slash performer, whatever, is coming up with like a script that's compact and engaging. And that's hard to do, but when the props make that so easy, it just, when it writes itself, like that to me is just an immediate goldmine, because it has that hook and that natural presentation built in.
Yeah, and you know what? I'll say one thing about that as well, which is I'm not a mentalist, really. I mean, I do mentalism. I'm starting to become a mentalist, but I'm not really a mentalist.
Yeah.
But one thing I've learned from performing the routines off Evoke is that when you have that emotional connection, it's almost impossible to follow that. Like I've been working with this now for over a year, and whenever I perform one of the routines off Evoke and I've really really gone deep with somebody, I can't do anything after that. I can't then pull out four coins and say, right, let's do a coin trick. Like that,
you have them near tears at times, right? Because yeah, like you're,
it's like what Matt, it's what Javier says on the trailer, you know, three of clubs, seven of hearts. There's not really anything there for a spectator to grab
onto.
When you think about emotions, instantly everyone can relate to what you're talking about.
Especially when you have Peter Turner on the project and he talk about engaging and getting people to evoke, pun intended, the reactions from this. I mean, I'm so excited just to see his contributions, because the product itself is fantastic as it is, but I know, knowing his presentation, his philosophy and the way that he thinks, that he's just going to take this into not just the next level, but like the next stratosphere.
Oh, I'm so lucky to have him on the project. Like when he, I was watching him do all the live performances and I was just completely blown away. I was like, this guy is just doing stuff here that's fooling me with my own trick. Like, yeah. I don't even know how he's doing this. I think this is going to be the only magic trailer in the world that starts out with Pete Turner knocking someone out in a bar. Like, I mean...
Yes, pay your 30-some-odd dollars for Murphy's Magic and you can have them lying unconscious on the floor. It's the first routine.
Yeah, right? It's just insane. It's insane. I'm so glad you like it, David.
I wouldn't just say this, you know, I'm always 100% truthful in everything I say, and I genuinely think this is one of the best products for the mentalist that I've seen in years.
Wow. My God, that means a lot. Thank you so much, mate. I really appreciate it.
And coming from you, no less. Who knew?
Yeah, no, I think I need to release about 5 coin tricks now just to get it out of my get back to where I'm meant to be, you know?
Exactly.
I don't want people saying I'm a mentalist. I mean, good God. But no, I appreciate that, man. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure.
So I'm here with probably my favorite performer of all time, superstar magician, incredible mentalist, just probably one of the most famous people alive at the moment, as far as I'm concerned. He's absolutely everywhere. You name a TV show, he's probably on it. I'm talking about the one and only Mark Spellman, a.k.a. X. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm really well, Craig. Really, really, really well. Thank you, mate. That's very kind.
It's true. You're everywhere. I've just spent the entire December gigging, and your name just gets brought up every single time.
Very, very. Hopefully for good reasons. Like, God, we had a terrible magician last year. That's guy. What a disappointment. X wasn't even here. I can't believe it.
Only ever good things.
You're going to share something absolutely unbelievably amazing with me, right?
Yeah. Well, you've just seen the Evoke trailer, and I'm really interested to chat to you about this because obviously you had the gallery out a couple of years ago, and there's a crossover in some ways with some of what you put into that and what I put into Evoke. But you've seen the trailer, and I've just painstakingly sat down and talked you through all the different principles that are built into the cards, all different principles that are built into the actual kind of deck and what it does and what it doesn't do. I'd just like your honest thoughts and just, you know, chat through what you think.
I genuinely, obviously, as you mentioned from the gallery, I love effects. I think we learn so much about card magic and techniques and hands-off principles and sleight-of-hand principles, and there's so many beautiful card effects. And like I tried to do with the gallery way back was just to kind of go, well, how can I use that in a different way? And you've done that with Evoke and then some. I mean, there is so much in Evoke that is amazing. The thing that really strikes me that sets it apart from the gallery and any other sort of image deck for me is the emotional element of the wording, the positive words, the sort of more negative words, anxiety and things like that. And I think that that really opens up doorways to it's like, I think Javier says it on the trailer, it's like a shortcut to someone's deeper thoughts. And I think that's incredible, because now it's always that thing. People might not always remember what you did, but they'll remember how you made them feel. And I think with Evoke, very much that's right up there, that you can make some, you can take someone, the minute you know what they're thinking, you can now anchor that and maneuver them into a place where, and obviously, you know, this is for entertainment, so we always treat their emotions and their thoughts and memories with respect, but you can really go far deeper than a wow. And there's nothing wrong with a wow moment. Amazing, astonishment, that kind of thing is great as a reaction, but when you get someone to go deeper and to feel something, I think that's where gold dust. That's where things, they never forget that. They never forget how you made them feel. And that's what I think Evoke has got over everything that I've seen. It just, those words and being able to take them on a bit of a journey and to remember times. And also as well, I think with that, you know, it's understanding presentation and scripting is really, really important. But I know that you're going to provide all of that as well, and then some. So that alone just means now that you can take them to a place where they remember something positive, negative, or a challenging time or whatever it might be, but then leave them enlightened at the end of it by giving them a bit of a cold reading, something like, actually it's not even a cold reading really, it's a hot reading really, because of what you can do with Evoke. So I think it's amazing. I think that it's so emotive, and it can be so emotive. That's the strength behind it, I think. It's brilliant.
It's amazing. Just like, so Peter Nardi, your friend Peter Nardi, he talks on the tutorial about using these cards with a name reveal. So you have somebody write down the name of a friend at school, put it away in the wallet, and then go through the cards and find an emotion that they can relate to that person. And since I've been doing it that way, I find the reactions are so much stronger. Like on the live performances, I did this and there was this woman who wrote down the name of her friend at school. And then when she went through the emotions, I knew immediately, obviously, because of how the cards are marked, that she picked out xenophobia. And so I started to, and this is all new to me. I feel like such a fraud here because I'm, you know, nowhere near the mentalist that you and so many other fantastic people are, but it's been amazing, this journey for me. Because I just turned around to her and I said, this is somebody who you were friends with, but you had a falling out and it was over something that you really disagreed with her. And she was just freaking out. She was like, I've never told anyone. How do you know this? And the name reveal was almost secondary. She felt like I was describing her innermost personal thoughts. And it was only because she attached an emotion to the name that allowed me to kind of go in that direction. And just that alone, it's so powerful.
I think one of the really strong things in mentalism is, you know, when you've got me and Peter always talk about this thing called expansion and just expanding on information. And with something like Evoke, you know your ending. You know your ending. You know what card they're thinking of, you know the word and all of the additional elements as well on that card that you can latch into. And what that does, and I think good mentalism a lot of the time, obviously Peter Turner is, you know, superb at this, and that is just expanding on things and just delving and exploring. And I think there's, you know, like with the idea of cold reading or hot reading, there's that sort of fear about supposing you don't get it right, supposing you're not quite right, or, you know, you get a nose or whatever. You know your ending. You know you've got that Tada moment. And good mentalism should enable you to explore and take a couple of sort of educated gambles, if you like. And I think Evoke enables you to explore, you know, to sort of take a bit of a leap of faith with some elements, but then come back to sort of solid, definitive mentalism reveals. So you've got, that's your safety net. And yeah. I think Evoke enables you to do that. But I, for me, just being able to take someone emotionally on a journey and know so much from one simple choice of a card, that is, I mean, that's what you want. I mean, that's,
yeah. You know. And I totally agree. Like, that's one thing that you did with the gallery deck. And we talked about this off camera, that I found works with Evoke so well is taking existing card plots with a deck of cards and using Evoke, it changes everything. So the perfect example is Triumph. Like, you do a Triumph with a deck of cards, generally it's a display of skill. You do a Triumph with these cards and you say, look, take an emotion that you feel strongly about, that you want to feel. Now, we'll put it in here and we'll mix all of these emotions up because in life, you know, that's how you are sometimes. You know, things are, you know, you're all over the place. One moment you're happy, next moment you're sad. If you focus on that one positive emotion that you want to feel, well, you can find that you can sort everything out. And, you know, just that, it's no longer a Triumph. It's now a kind of a demonstration of the power of positive thinking. And
Yeah.
It changes just everything. And, you know, there's so many card plots that when you apply them to emotions, it becomes so much stronger than just, hey, this card's come to the top of the deck.
Sorry, I've just sort of an idea. I know you're recording this for the soundbite, but I just sort of an idea. You just mentioning about the Triumph thing. You know, with Michael Murray's The Solution with the Rubik's Cube, right, behind the back?
Yes.
Imagine doing that with these cards. So you've done the Triumph, so you've righted everything, right? And you've got a person standing behind you who's going to do almost the same thing, but you say, in a moment, I'm going to ask Jonathan to just start to turn the cards, and you start to turn the cards, but really turning the cards, like, you know, like you do when you do a slop shuffle sort of thing.
Yeah.
But Jonathan doesn't see you doing that. It's going to seem really odd, make no sense at all. And then you turn to Jonathan and you face Jonathan and say, Jonathan, all you're going to do is just turn the card, and you're turning them as a unit over. It makes no sense at all, but you're going to do exactly that, but do it behind your back. And you can obviously do it behind your back, like The Solution. And then Jonathan puts them behind his back and only just turns them as one unit. Do you know what I mean? Like the solution.
Incredible. Yeah,
and then now you say, and then now bring them out and then say, but look, here's the weirdest thing. And then now you spread them out and say, because now look, every other emotion is, you know, the right way round, just one, whatever, you know, whatever positive one you've got as now. So have a word with Michael, because obviously that's Michael's baby, but to do it with cards, it works, you know, with Triumph as well. It's just like, what a lovely way of solving a Triumph thing, you know. Anyway, sorry, that's completely off topic. Right, cut back into the sound bites. Right. So, yeah, no, for me, I think Evoke is with anything that I do in mentalism or when I'm performing, whether it's on stage, I do a lot of private dinner parties now, lots of private dinner parties. And it's just having something that, you know, if your, you know, sort of £1,000 electronic device decides to give it up for the night or whatever and stuff. And that's where the gallery's always been. Wherever I am, I promise you this, no word of a lie, no matter where I am, I have a gallery deck nearby, because I know that I've got a good 7 to 8 minutes of getting two people up on stage, get the gallery out. It's really clear, really obvious. Don't have to try to remember the routine. It's easy. It's easy for me to do. And what Evoke does, I think Evoke is that and then some. And the other thing that I say on the gallery, when we filmed the trailer years ago, and that is that, you know, playing cards can either be red or black, high or low, odd or even, right? Spot card or court card. That's all they can ever be. And there's no emotional attachment to a playing card. You know, it's funny. Sometimes you say to someone, you know, what's your favorite playing card? And they go, what do people actually have favorite playing cards? You got to go, well, some do, but, you know, but with emotions like the Evoke cards, every single one of them is relatable. There's not one emotion that what any human being has not had at one point in their lives. Every single one of those emotions is relevant to every single, and that straight away takes, like, you know, and don't get me wrong, I'm not bashing card magic. I love card magic to bits, but meaning, that's the thing that is missing a lot from a card effect, is meaning. There's wow and amazement, and that's great. But meaning and depth is what is hard, you know. You know, unless you've got some kind of, you're Eugene Berger, you know, then you can give it meaning and depth and, you know, deciding life and death through the turn of a playing card. But we can't all be Eugene Berger. There's only one, right? But what the Evoke cards do, they give you that. Every single one of those cards already, even if you just handed them to someone and said nothing, straight away those cards have got meaning. And I think that's what takes Evoke from a different level, even like from the gallery. The gallery's image based. It's like, you know, like thoughts and feelings, but more about, you know, tangible things. Whereas this is much more on an emotional level, which I think is really, really strong. Really strong.
Oh, amazing. And honestly, Mark, it means so much you saying that, because you know how much respect I've got for you. So I'm so glad you like this. I'm really...
No, I think it's great, mate. I think it's really good. And Phil, like, his marking systems are just next level. Just love them. Because I can see them. Finally, I can see things, you know. It's like, thank you, Phil.
Like, I've got the worst eyesight in the world. And we shot some of the footage on the trailer in Smoke and Mirrors, which is a very dark place to perform in. And in Smoke and Mirrors environments, with my eyesight, I can just glance down and I can see it immediately with no problems.
It's an amazing project. I don't know where you fit in the time. Have you got a twin brother? Is there a clone of you? Is there like an army of you?
Tell people about that. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. Mark, thank you so much.
No worries, mate. Listen, I'll let you get on with the rest of your day. But listen, it's been a pleasure, mate. Fantastic project, really is. And I wish you nothing but the best with it. I know it's going to fly off the shelves like you wouldn't believe. And it would be silly for anyone not to pick this up, because why wouldn't you want to pick this up? You know, a lot of the time we think about reasons about why we should get something. You sit there and kind of go, should I? But I've kind of got a version of this and that and the other. This, it's like trying to find a reason not to get it. I'm really not interested in taking my audiences on a deep and meaningful journey to create a piece of magic that they will never forget for the rest of their lives. Well, if you don't want to do that, then don't buy this. That's what I'd say.
Mate, thank you so much.
Listen, love to everybody, yeah? And let's hook up.
So I'm here with one of my favorite performers in the whole world, one of the top creators in magic, somebody who has released more magic than most people I know, a very respected name in the magic community, and a good friend of mine, the one and only Joel Dickinson, who I think is probably the number one worker in the UK right now. You just know commercial hit after commercial hit after commercial hit. How you doing, Joel? You well?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
Great.
Nice to see you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well, my friend. Thanks for jumping on. I know how busy you are. I know you've been filming content constantly. So thank you so much.
You're more than welcome. Thanks for having me on.
You're more than welcome. Now, I have just spent the last sort of 20 minutes talking to you about Evoke. You've seen the trailer. I've talked you through every single principle that's built into them. You know what these things are. Yeah. Wanted to get your opinion on it, really.
Yeah, I'm more than happy to give my opinion on this. When you were showing me the features that are built into the, well, let's face it, each individual card, I didn't know when you were going to stop. It just seemed to kind of carry on and carry on. But at the same time, it wasn't like the, you know, the methods and the little hidden things over the top. It's like you've got a mountain of routines like embedded within a bunch of cards. And I think the one thing that I do primarily like about this is the connect with people, because you've clearly spent time designing and developing these so they actually do connect. Because let's face it, as performers, if we want to perform a routine that connects with people on an emotional level, it's difficult to introduce playing cards. And although we can do it, it does take that extra bit of effort. But at the same time, it's, you know, it potentially comes down to a magic trick, whereas these cards are something that could be picked up, you know, almost like a stationery store, like a WH Smith or a magazine shop or like an airport or something along those lines. And they are like little things that you would pick up. Or maybe if you was, you know, somebody who performed as a psychic or a medium or somebody who wants to perform something to actually connect on a level with somebody emotionally, then these are something that you can already actually buy things like these. So they make absolute sense. And all the features, honestly, and the way that you've explained them to me, it's easy to read. I mean, you showed me the marking and I read it straight away, you know, but I couldn't see it. And I genuinely couldn't, you know, and it's as clear as day. Once you know what the marking is, you know, there's nothing better than marked cards when you absolutely for certain see what the marking is and it remains completely invisible. And when I didn't know what the marking was, you know as well as I do, and I'm not just trying to hype this, I couldn't see the markings. And when you add two together, I couldn't spot them, you know. So
and really, that's really cool. I think it's really important, at least for me, like my eyesight is terrible. And a lot of the footage that we filmed for this is at Smoke and Mirrors, which is a very dark venue.
Yeah,
it's very dark. And you go in there, and I was just having the deck on the table in front of me, and just by glancing down in the dark Smoke and Mirrors, I could immediately see everything that I needed to see in like just one glance.
Yeah, brilliant, brilliant. Even as I'm getting a bit older, like I'm almost in my 40s, but my vision's starting to go a little bit. And, you know, I know you're in Birmingham and I'm in the Northeast right now, but we're connected via this screen. I could see the markings as clear as day. And honestly, the little features on the other side of the card, I don't want to say too much because I don't want to give anything away, particularly in the main trailer where Pete is demonstrating something really cool where people have got the inability to just read something basic. It's simple, but it's brilliant. It absolutely works. And when something like that happens, when you are actually connected on an emotional level, it just makes everything seems so much bigger and better, you know, because we're humans and we've got emotions. So if you can connect with somebody, then everything not only looks better, but it just feels better. It feels more real, you know? So yeah, honestly, I'm not just saying it. I can't wait to pick it up. And I've got a lot of your magic and, you know, I'll buy it off you, but I'm going to be getting a deck of these because they're just so nice. Like I'm looking at the other side of me and I'm seeing tarot cards. I've got a variety of different marked cards, ESP cards, and this is going to fit in perfectly, you know?
Well, that's the nice thing. It's a little bit like tarot in that it really does allow people. It doesn't feel like a card trick, like you said. It doesn't feel like a pick a card. This is your card.
Well, not at all.
Now they're thinking of emotions. They're thinking of how they feel, and people are so much more invested when they think about how they feel as opposed to picking a card.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think that's it. It's like it's something that's hard to explain, really. But we know as performers that once somebody's on a level with you, or even just kind of directing somebody to feel a certain emotion, or they've got the, well, sorry, not necessarily feel a certain emotion, but if you introduce a category and then somebody plants their own thought into that category, they're now invested like emotionally into the actual, and let's face it, the trick, you know, and it's, we can call it a trick, but to them, it's no longer a trick. It's bigger. It's something that they can feel now because it's something that they've invested from an experience. Well, it most likely is going to be something that they've experienced. And if you've experienced something and you've applied that to what the performer's actually now talking about and revealing, then you're actually revealing something that somebody can feel. So now you're not just revealing a word, you're revealing a feeling. So now you're actually connected properly to that person because you are revealing how they feel and describing it as well. But not only that, with the features that you've added, you're taking it further. And you are taking it a lot further because you've added these additional features and reveals, and there's a lot going on. And it's just a tool to take that connection even further, you know? Yeah, I really like it. I really, really do.
Amazing. Mate, that means so much to me. It really does, because you know how much I respect I have for you as a performer. The fact that you like it, honestly, thank you so much.
Oh, honestly, I can't wait to get it and head out and perform it. It's so, so good.
So yeah. I'm here with one of my favorite mentalists on the planet, Mr. John Morton, who has just seen the trailer for Evoke. And also, I've just spent the last hour talking him through the various different principles and the various different things that are built into it, and I just wanted to find out what you thought.
I'm speechless with it, to be honest. It's one of those decks that every mentalist is going to want to have this. I mean, magicians are going to want it too, but mentalists, you're going to need this in your arsenal. This is 100%. I just want it. Just send it to me now, basically. Get it in the post, put it in the bag out, and just get it to me. Which sounds like massive hype, and it isn't a hype. Because what this deck essentially does is, rather than you just revealing, you know, the name of a card or, you know, something like that, it's the emotional hook that this deck brings to us that will create a moment, you know, because at the end of the day, what you're going to do is you're going to create a moment in time of somebody thinking back to a time when this emotion occurred with them. I mean, definitely the way I'm going to do it is I'll get them to take one out that feels like them and basically think back to a moment in time when this one is, and then I'll get that moment and I'll get the emotion and with a bit of call reading and possibly a peek as well to get the name of what it is they're thinking of or the time and the date or something. I mean, holy smokes, you put this with if you put this with a watch or a time and they get, I'm just going to be terrible for recording, but never mind, just keep rolling. If you put this where they think of an emotion and you say to them, I want you to think of an emotion, think of a time in your life where you can pinpoint the date and the time, and you say to them, let's get a time. So you've got a time in mind. And choose, find a card that relates to that time. So they find that. Now you know what the emotion is. You could then reveal what the emotion is of that person, you know, and then with a little bit of cold reading, you can suss out. So it might be, this was a time when you were feeling really happy. You were tired, but you were feeling really happy and joyful about this thing. This was when your baby was born, right? And they go, yeah. And you go, and then you could, if you've done a peek, you could also get the name of the baby they called it. And then you go, that's weird that you picked that. And what time was it born? And then it's on your watch as well. Shit. The thing with this deck, and I can see it straight away, the uses of it, it almost writes the routine for you, and you can make the routine as short or as long as you wanted to, and you can make it with multiple people, because that's the other thing. Like we were saying earlier, I mean, I would do this in a heartbeat with four people, and I would literally get four people to each, because I already do a thing like this, but this takes it to the whole next level, where they'll take each one, choose an emotion that feels like them, and then I would call out the four emotions that I think, after having sort of looked at them, read them, call out the four emotions, miscall the last one, and then the last one I'd go, oh, that's interesting, I didn't get yours right, okay. And I would do this kind of ritualistic thing where you're holding their hands and you get them to take a deep breath in, close their eyes and imagine it, and then pull this emotion out. And all you're doing is just miscalling the last one and then revealing it. Very Derek Delgadio, very much like In of Itself, the end of that. You could do that with this, but rather than essentially copying Derek Delgadio's routine where you're naming, you know, it might be a peacekeeper or a, you know, nurse or whatever, with this one it's emotions, which makes it even stronger. And I mean, Derek's show was genius, his thing was genius, but this takes it to the next level. I think everybody wants to see that, you know, they want to make that experience happen for their audience. I can already think of so many things you could do with this, especially when you add in different things with Pete Smith and the various different other gimmicks that and tools that the Mentalist has available to, you know. Just with the pictures themselves, I mean, you've got a million one drawing duplications and things that very, very easily can be done, you know, especially with what you've shown me on the photos. That makes it really easy to get that right. It's really incredible. I just want it. I want it already. It's going to be one of those things that every Mentalist is going to have, and they're all going to use it. It just makes things easier, quicker. It's going to be brilliant.
You know what? I think that what you're doing here is what I think I'm hoping a lot of people do, which is they're going to come up with their own stuff for it. It's like there may be a ton of ideas on there from people like Pete Turner and Peter Nardi and myself, but that's just scratching the surface. I mean, you've just spent the last hour talking to me about seven or eight different uses for it. And I think people are going to do that everybody's going to have their own way of using this thing. I know that since I've started using Evoke, the way that I've performed has changed so much. I said to you off camera before we started, like, I can't follow this with a coin trick. And I'm a coin guy. I love coin magic. But I can't do this and then just put out four coins and say, now watch, we're going to make them jump from here to here. It can't be followed. It really can't.
No, it's that's the joy of mentalism is mentalism. It makes a connection with somebody on a whole different level. When you perform a magic trick for somebody, you give them joy and it's invariably surprise. That's what a magic trick is. It's about surprise. They don't think something's going to happen and it's surprise. It moves from there to there, or you guess what the card was, or the card's jumped to the top, or whatever it might be. Magic as a performance is primarily the ones that really hit strong with an audience is a surprise thing, the Omni deck, things like that, you know, anything like that, even down to sponge balls, you know, one in that hand, now there's two, you know, things like that is a surprise. With mentalism, because it's all emotional anyway, and it's going back almost to the tarot readers where you sort of like you're reading something that's happening to them or sort of feeling or emotion that they're creating. That's exactly what this deck is doing. You know, I can see people, I can see people that do readings using these cards as well, because it would be extremely easy to do a reading with this. I've got a few friends that do tarot, and if you wanted to do something that didn't look like tarot reading, but and you get this with mentalism a lot, where people, after you've done your act, you'll get somebody that will drag you to one side privately, and they're like, can you do a reading? With this deck, you could do that if you wanted to. You could literally get them to just choose four and randomly put them face down, and you're already ahead of the game, so you already know what you're thinking before you even turn them over. So you can do a reading very, very easy with this deck. It just lends itself to so many different things. The amount of things you've hidden in this deck, and yet it doesn't look like there's anything hidden in it, is incredible. I think that's the thing I would say most with this deck is it looks like just a bunch of cards with photos and quotes on it, basically.
Well, Phil,
my God, it's got a lot in it.
Phil Smith, I mean, I can't take any credit for that. Phil was so passionate right from the very beginning. He said, this has to look like the sort of thing that you would just walk into a bookshop and just pick up off the bookshelf. The sort of thing where you walk into a doctor's surgery and you see these posters on the wall. That's what this needs to look like. So that when you pull it out, it looks like something you've bought. It doesn't look like a magic prop that you're using to do a trick with.
Yeah.
It's something that you can have just lying around anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, as a mentalist, you're going to have... we're all about emotions and feelings, and we're all about making it's how can I put it? Well, you want the person to think of something that means something to them, because you're making a connection. This deck should have been called Connection, because that's essentially what you're doing. You're making I suppose it does, but the name's already there. But you're giving them an easy way to them to create an emotional, have a feeling. And it's the feelings that makes it so strong. But the way you've managed to put in all these extra elements to it is incredible. I mean, the fact there is stuff in there for a magician who doesn't necessarily want to go down the mentalism route. You know, the Out of This World is just probably one of the best Out of This Worlds I've seen, because it works on that kind of... I love the positive and negative side. I think that that's really strong. And it's so much better than, oh, it's black or it's red. You know, it just, you know, that just makes it better. Anything you can do where it's more of a connection and more meaningful, it makes it better. With a deck of cards, when you get them to pick a card, it's just a card. It's just an image. It's nothing. It's whereas, and I know I'm going to get slated for card people for saying that, but it's true. You know, if somebody picks a card, that card means nothing to them. And it makes me laugh when you get some people to go, oh, pick your favourite card. And when you do that, most people go, I haven't got a favourite card. Well, of course they haven't, because it's a playing card. That's like going, pick your favourite domino. Oh, well, I'll go for the double six because it feels really, you know, they're not going to do it. Whereas if you say to them, I want you to picture a moment in time that was really special to you. Maybe it was something that, I don't know, maybe it was good, maybe it was bad, maybe it was transformative. It could be anything. And then you can find that card. Now, the beauty of that is it's not a force, because they're literally, they've got this thing in their head and they're finding something that relates to it. So that there's no force there.
No.
You know what I mean? And now they've got this thing in their head that relates to them. And people love nothing more than talking about themselves.
Yeah,
that's the big thing. Every time, if somebody can relate to something that means to them and can talk about them and their experience, it's going to make this a million times better. You've created something. You've created the best thing you've ever created, certainly for mentalists by miles. This takes it to the next level, you know. And it's what's crazy is a non-mentalist created this deck. That's what's crazy. How can a non-mentalist have created something that every mentalist is going to use? I mean, Luca Volpe is a great friend of mine, and he works a lot on emotions. I said to you when you showed me this that you've got to show this to Luca, and I can imagine what Luca did straight away. And all mentalists are going to be kicking themselves that they didn't put this together, you know. Me included, to be honest. I kind of love you and hate you at the same time for this deck, because I wish I'd brought it up. I wish I'd come up with it.
It is one of those things that when you look at it, you think, why has this not been done before?
Yeah.
Kind of makes sense that something like this would have been done. But
and the amount of things you've put into it, it's going to be a ridiculously long tutorial, isn't it? Because there's so much to do.
It was clocking in at 5 hours, but we've just had Ian Rowland, who's agreed to do a masterclass on the project on how to use Evoke to make performances more memorable and how to do cold reading specifically using the Evoke deck. So that's probably going to stick an extra 3 hours on it. But when you have Ian Rowland offering to be a part of the project and talk about cold reading, you don't really say no.
No, you don't. And that's going to be incredible. And the thing is, what you've got there then is you haven't just got a gimmick deck. You've now got a masterclass in mentalism. And even if you, just by using this deck several times and getting used to using it, this is going to enhance every other mentalism routine you do. Because what you'll find is the more you perform with this deck, the more the little elements of the way you bring emotion into your act, the way that you talk to people, will change with all the other tricks that you do. It won't just be one trick. It's almost like a masterclass in the fact that it's going to teach you things that you'll use further on. It will make you a better mentalist. This deck will definitely make you a better mentalist because you'll bring more emotion into everything you perform. And you can't help it. When I learned hypnosis years and years ago, it changed the way I performed. Like it overnight, it changed the way I performed. Because when you perform in a hypnosis, especially one-on-one, which is what I do, is you create a connection between the two people, because you're like two minds become one, essentially. And so all my mentalism went from this to this. And then with this deck, you're going to go from here to here because it's going to take it to the next level again. You know, and if you're a magician that's wanting to get into mentalism and you don't really know where to go from it, this is going to be a hell of a stepping stone into it that's going to take you, you're going to basically jump miles ahead from where you would. It's like you've almost read 13 steps and just jumped ahead of it, because you're going to have the foundations that a mentalist needs to create moments for these people, that this deck's going to already create that for you. It can't help itself but do it for you. And then what you'll then do is you'll take those foundations and then put them elements into new tricks that you're like a peak or whatever it might be, to then take that to the next level. So I think anybody that's wanting to get into mentalism needs this deck, because it will help them learn the difference between magic and mentalism.
Yeah.
That's the big key with this, because a trick is just a wonderful, even a trick that creates emotion, it won't create the same emotion as this. It really won't. You know, I can just see this being, yeah, I'm kind of flummoxed for words really, because it's that good.
Man, thank you so much, John. Seriously,
it's incredible, mate. This is probably the best thing. It's certainly for mentalists. This is easily the best thing you've ever created, and probably the best thing you've created for magicians as well, because it will take them to the next level, and it'll make them realize where they can take their magic.
So I'm here with mentalism legend Mark Elston, who has just been—he's just seen the trailer for Evoke, one of the very first people on the planet to see it—and I've just talked him through kind of the features and the principles that Phil Smith built into it. What do you think, Mark?
Wow. If I had to sum it up in one word, wow. So I was really impressed with when I saw you performing, excuse me, in the trailer. So the performance is great. You can see it's connecting with people instantly. It's about something other than the adventures of the, as Eugene Berg used to say, the adventures of the props in the magician's hands. It's not about that. It's about them. It's about connecting with them. It's about their emotional condition or state or a memory or something, but ultimately it's about them. And that, of course, is massive, massive impact, massively powerful. And so, you know, you had me at the 10 seconds of the trailer. But then when I saw what the methods are and what Phil's come up with, you know, he's been designing genius level kind of playing cards. I think I've got everything he's put out, five or six iterations of different marked cards for different projects he's worked on. And now the information he's built into these cards, I mean, no brainers, the word no brainer is thrown around Magic almost as much as the phrase game changer. But this really is a no brainer. You could literally know nothing, pick up a deck. I mean, why would one do this? But I'm sure there's some who will. Just pick up a deck on the way out the door, read the instructions or watch the video for 3 seconds on the way into the gig and perform it flawlessly, because that it's that part that, you know, that powerful, that easy. It's almost too easy. Is there such a thing as too easy? Probably for the purists, yes, they'll be like, oh, everyone will be using this. You'll be thinking, great, everyone will be using this, which is fantastic for you. Having come up with the project, you want it into as many hands as possible. But yeah, the combination of the strength of the effects, the massive emotional connection you're getting with anyone you perform for, and then, you know, is it difficult? You know, do you have to do a center tear? No. Is there a peak? No. Is there anything? No. What I mean, what I was thinking, what is the, after you showed me the workings of it and how it's the multiple amounts of information that are built into the cards, et cetera, I was like, well, there is one, the only thing you have to be able to do is read. I mean, if you can read,
yeah,
that's it. This, you know, if you can't read, you're in trouble, but that's not many people these days in the magic
world. And the way the markings work, it's, I kind of described it to Phil as it's a little bit like that thing that went on Facebook years ago with the cigar in the brick wall. You can't see it, but then when somebody points that cigar out, it's impossible to miss. And it's the same with the marking system. You can literally just have them on the table. I've got terrible eyesight. I can't read a lot of marked decks. I just glance down. I can just see it. It's almost like it's printed so clearly on the card.
That's what's remarkable. So these days, obviously, because I'm getting old, if I read, I've got these reading glasses. So and of course, that brings with it its whole host of issues. If I'm using a regular marked deck, generally, I put them on the whole time. And in fact, the marked deck I use allow me to take them off. So the other way around, instead of putting the glasses on when I need to read a marked deck and not the rest of the time, which is massively suspicious, I put them on the whole of the performance and then take them off and put them down for a minute or hold them once I'm getting my read of the marked deck I use. But this, when you were showing me, we're on a webcam, you were showing me on your phone, a small picture on your phone, on a webcam, over Zoom. I was like, oh yeah, just reading it like that. I'm like, yep, this is for me. And you're right, exactly what you say. It's like the best kind of optical illusion, isn't it? You go, it's, yeah, can't see it. You know, it's there. You go, wow, okay. Yeah, now I see it. I see it all. And there is a lot to see here. And that's what another great thing about it is it's not just one piece of information. I mean, it's telling you everything. So clever. So clever.
Yeah, I mean, when I said to Phil, this is the list of the information I'd like to have on the back of the card. Is this possible? And he went, give me a few days. And then he came back with this whole system. And the amount, I think there's like 9 or 10 different pieces of information marked. And it's not orientation specific. So however they've got the card, it's read from both sides. It's just, yeah, ridiculous.
Yeah, and I think your skill as a graphic designer, you know, when you look at the, a couple of things I was looking at when you were showing me the cards, like the tones and the gradients of the color and the, you know, it's not just the sneakiness of the letters being hidden in the back design, which has obviously got to be some kind of geometrical back design to hide lots of information, particularly, you know, because card shapes won't work. You know, there's no heart shape, there's no diamond shape, there's no club shape. So it's all got to be letters because it's all words. So fair enough, I could kind of think, oh, hey, they're hidden well. But it's the colorization of the cards and the tone of them, the whole thing. It feels obviously hugely professional because he's a professional graphic designer as well. And, you know, your whole project is professional. But it just feels, or it doesn't feel rather suspicious at all. You don't think, oh, what are these then? So whatever, however you choose to introduce them, whatever you say at the outset that these cards are, whatever that your presentation or one's presentation, whatever you tell your audience, your participants, that these, whatever these cards are for, whatever they're about, you're just going to look at them and go, uh-huh. You're not going to think, oh, these look a bit odd. And that's a regular thing in magic, isn't it? People get stuff printed and you go, yeah, this looks like a magic prop to me. You know, book tests are the worst, like 99% of book tests, you go, this just doesn't look like any book I've ever seen or read or got in my, you know, on my shelf. And in this instance, this was the opposite. It was like, yeah, they just look like a deck that's for something.
And again, that was really important to Phil. He wanted to make it so that with the box that they come in, with the actual cards themselves, it's the sort of thing that you could just go into a bookshop and you could just find it there and pick it up and take it out with you. It was really important to both me and Phil that it wasn't a Magic prop. It didn't look like a Magic prop at all.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, well done, you succeeded. as I said to you yesterday, or the day before, was it when we were first talking about this and we were messaging? You know, I hope they've got a very big print run because this is going to be, you know, it's going to be a huge seller. And I think Mentalists will be annoyed. Not that I think personally, my opinion, I think Mentalism and Magic are the same sides of different sides of the same coin. Mentalists like to think it's something different for various reasons. We're not going to go into that now. There's not time. But Mentalists will get annoyed because magicians can use this as well. But who cares? So long as members of the public are being entertained, astonished, and loving a performance, who cares whether a magician's doing it or a mentalist or anyone else? As long as they perform it well and they're making a great connection, and you know, that's it. But you know, from a viewpoint in terms of a product to release, you know, you should be rubbing your hands.
Oh, thank you, mate. And you know, you're right. I've always really, you know, I've always said that I do mental magic and I'm not a mentalist. But I've been working on this for about 2 years now. And for the last 2 years, I've learned more about mentalism in the last 2 years than I have probably in the previous 30 years before that. Yeah. Because I wanted to understand how to perform mentalism as a performer in order to, you know, with this product coming out. And I've studied your work and the work of a lot of other mentalists as well. And one thing I've found, which has just blown me away, is if I do something with Evoke, if I do something with this, I can't then follow it. I can't then go, right, okay, let's change tack and let's do a coin trick. And we're going to make coins jump from here to here. They don't care. I just can't follow that. And you saw the woman on the trailer crying. I mean, that's not the only time that's happened. And you never get that with however good an ambitious card is.
No.
You never get that. And it's something I didn't really understand until I kind of started taking this journey into mentalism.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's it really can affect people in a different way. You know, and any tools that get released by creators for performers that allow them to do that, to be able to connect with people. And you know, it's so good because it's not just the prop, you know, obviously it's the prop that people are buying and the method, but it comes with, you know, the presentation is built in, and that's very unusual. This is normally the problem with great tricks. You know, we were just talking about, you know, my favorite trick of the year, Angelo's on Edge. Mm. You know, what do you say about that to make it into a more meaning? I mean, it doesn't need it. It's just a beautiful piece of eye candy and close-up theater, but still, to any performance needs to be presented well. So you need a story or a premise or some hook to get into it. And that's the hard thing about magic and mentalism, what to say. And of course, in this instance, what am I going to say? Oh, good news. That's also written on the cards. So not only is the effect brilliant, the methods, if you can read, you can do it. Your presentation is built into the actual deck. So it's all there. I mean, it really is an impressive piece of work.
Thanks for listening to the Talk Magic Podcast. Magic, magic. Be sure to like and subscribe to the Magic TV YouTube channel, Magic TV, which includes 14 unique videos every week. Whatever type of magic you're interested in, we've got you covered. Just search YouTube for Craig Petty's Magic TV, or click on the link in the description from this podcast below. Be sure to join us next Friday at 5 p.m. right here for another Talk Magic Podcast.